This morning we're focusing on prayers of the saints. As we study Revelation chapter 8, if you could begin to turn to that. So as we read through chapter 8, we're going to read some things that kind of speak for themselves. And so we're going to rewind and then go back to the idea of what the significance of the prayers of the saints mean in terms of eternity. And so let's dig in, and we're going to read through chapter 8. And as you can recall, up to this point, the saints, we believe, have been raptured from the earth. The church has been. And then in the midst of the previous chapters, we saw that the martyrs also have surrendered their lives for the sake of Christ. And they have also been brought to heaven. And then we also saw last week where the remnant of Israel was sealed with the name of their Father in heaven on their foreheads. And so things are all being set up for the wrath of God to come and finally redeem the world of its evil. And I really believe that the Lord does not want anyone to perish. You know, as we read this, if we have a heart like, yes, finally, you're killing those evil people, you know, that's not the heart of God at all, because he knows that it's evil, the spiritual realm that really is evil. But men and women who have surrendered to that spirit and rejected the spirit of God, there's consequences. And I don't believe it's anything God enjoys at all. And yet it has to happen. Someday there will be a reconciling of all things, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And he has to purge the universe of evil somehow. And that day is coming. And really, you know, we have so much good things to do leading up to that. So many people to lead to Jesus that I certainly am not looking forward to the day of people that I know that never come to Jesus. And I believe neither does God either. But there will be a reckoning someday. And praise God that we are saved from that. We don't have to go through his wrath. And we can also be an instrument of his will to save souls. And so let's dig in. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Isn't that interesting? In the scheme of a universe, a half an hour matters. Isn't that I pondered that. I have nothing else to share. It's just amazing that a half an hour matters. But it's almost like this big inhale before the exhale, you know, of what's to come. But there's silence in heaven. There's not silence on earth. There's a lot of hustle, bustle, and things going on, and the enemy conquering. There's no peace on earth. There's all kinds of wickedness going on, and people just fighting one another for their own mini kingdom on earth. And yet there's silence, silence in heaven before the wrath really begins in these trumpets. And so, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And these trumpets, you know, are horns of bulls, okay? When they blow trumpets, okay? These were things that were taken off of bulls and used as trumpets, okay? The shofar, if you've ever seen a picture of them, and I've brought one in in the past. But it's really symbolic. The trumpet is symbolic, and it goes all the way back to, remember when Abraham was bringing Isaac up onto the mountain to sacrifice him to the Lord, and he said, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. And just as Abraham was ready to plunge the knife into Isaac, the Lord stopped him. And he turned and he saw the bull captured in the thicket of brush by its horns. And He saw that and he said, the Lord has provided the sacrifice. So the horn was always a symbol of provision, of strength, and supplication, a replacement in a sense. And so that's where that horn came from. And it symbolizes really the strength of the bull, but really that the God provides. God provides. And so these horns being blasted symbolize something. And whenever you see the horns being blown for the nation of Israel, it was always a sign of something. Like, listen up, something's about to happen. Something powerful and significant. Whether it be it's time to pull up your tent pegs because the pillars are moving. And we got to start moving with the pillar in the desert. Or whether it be sound the trumpets, it's time for battle. Or if you can recall Jericho when they marched around each day blowing it once, preparing. And then on the seventh day, they blew the trumpet and the walls collapsed. Because it's that picture of something significant is about to happen. And that's why the Lord speaks with a trumpet in a sense to wake people up and say, I'm about to say something significant. I'm sure Jill wishes she had a trumpet. That every time she's about to tell me something that she feels is important, she could just blow the trumpet right in my ear. I'm like, whoa, what's that? And no, you know what? No, but you know, there's a familiarity of a voice. My kids learned it well. You know, they learned that tone of their parents, and it's like, oh no, it's another instruction. It's another don't do this, don't whatever. And they block us out, don't they? It's the tone. It's almost like they don't even hear it, okay? Because it's a wah 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 white noise, okay? And you know, spouses can theoretically develop it towards one another. Theoretically, I'm not saying it has ever happened. From personal experience, but it can happen, right? And, you know, we can really develop that towards God, can't we? We really do. We just like, yeah, I just vomit out what I want, and I don't hear anything from God. And we wonder why, instead of really praying in the Spirit, and say, Lord, I don't even want to pray unless you're praying through me. That's why tongues, you know, praying in tongues, I don't know how you feel about it, but I really believe it's a way to tap us into God's will and draw us behind the veil where he is. I really believe it's so healthy. And if you want to talk after church about it more, we can. Now, in church, we don't speak in tongues, okay, because it would draw confusion and it's not. And also, if there's a newer believer, they think we're all crazy, and that's understandable. That's why Paul said, I'd rather you speak a few words of prophecy than 10,000 words of a tongue. Because speaking the word of God always succeeds, always brings victory when you speak the word of God or about the word of God in understandable language, you know. But praying yourself to God, just praying, you know, and just saying, Lord, I don't know what to say, so give me the words to say. And just babbling like a baby before God and say, I'll be an idiot for you, Lord God, if it brings me wisdom. You know, becoming an idiot for God so he can give you real wisdom. And there's something about that because suddenly you see and hear him in a much more tangible way, don't you? And you suddenly say, I know why Tim's saying that because I prayed this morning. I asked God to give me insight on something. And suddenly Tim said that. There it is. Thank you, God. It's the answer because the trumpet has been sounded. Our ears are now cued in to what God wants to say rather than hearing him as a wah, wah, wah and not hearing him at all. So anyway, moving along. So, and then another angel having a golden censer. You know what that is? It's like the golden thing on the end of the chain that they put incense in. Came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, probably a great meteorite. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. In verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And verse 12, and then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. And a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." And so we see this, the unraveling of God's wrath. And it always reminds me of how significant our role is down here, yours and mine. And it's not a guilt trip. It really isn't, you know, because God knows, he has foreknown all who belong to him. But we have work to do, you know. There's, you know, comfort for a believer. I don't know where it even fits in, really. You know, when you look at the early church, I mean, were they comfortable? They're either perishing for their faith, or they're out challenging the authorities to be persecuted. You know, they're out there saving souls, you know. And really, we've been praying for a real awakening. But you know, the awakening happens with us. Like, you and I have to be awakened inside to bring an awakening outside, don't we? Like, the only way to change an environment is to change yourself. You ever notice that when you change, everyone around you changes, because the whole dynamics of the room change because you've changed, you know? So for us to be, you know, we ask, Lord God, please bring revival. But if we're asking without realizing we're part of that revival, how's it going to happen? Now, I know there is moves of the Holy Spirit, but, you know, that move of the Holy Spirit is usually ignited by a believer who is so on fire by the Spirit, who doesn't want to settle for mediocrity or normalcy, and they just say, Lord, let's, you and me and whoever I could bring along with me, bring revival. It takes a saint to bring revival, you know? And as I see what's going to happen someday in the future, and it, who knows, a day, a year, 1,000 years, you know? None of us think it's 1,000 years. There's so many signs of things happening, but I'm sure other generations thought the same thing, if we're to be honest. You know, I mean, Hitler, I mean, there's been things in this world that you're like, there he is! There's the Antichrist! And it wasn't him, you know? So, but in the meantime, there's so much to do, you know, because people's lives were positioned on earth for a certain time and season. And as we cross paths with them, we're all Jesus has to bring about revival. I mean, he chose for it to be that way. So as we bring it back to the earlier part of the chapter with the prayers of the saints, isn't it significant that the prayers of the saints are here in heaven? And just to take a look again at verse 3, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. All the saints. Isn't that interesting? All the saints. That's all the saints who have ever lived. The prayers are being lifted up as incense. So the first thing when you think about our prayers have eternal significance and influence in the spiritual realms. Your prayers have eternal significance. Is that, wow. It makes us pray differently, doesn't it? If we pray thinking that my prayers are actually going to move mountains. My prayers are actually going to heal disease. My prayers are actually going to cast out demons. My prayers are actually going to bring wisdom to myself or others. My prayers are going to bring about powerful, amazing things. That's the prayers of the saints. They have eternal significance that they're listed here in Revelation. You know, these prayers are your prayers and my prayers. They're not just the prayers of the people who are recently martyred. All the saints, everybody, they have significant influence. And so that's important, isn't it? To think that your prayers matter that much. In fact, that God wants to be connected with you through your prayers. So we think about that, and the high priest used to go in. I don't know if we have a couple of the, I'm probably jumping ahead or jumping behind, but if you could show a picture there of the, there we go, there's that. Yeah, you can go back one, we'll see that little picture of the angel burning the incense. And then if you could show that next picture of the temple, and you see, in front of the Holy of Holies, inside the holy place, you see that incense altar, that box, and that was a golden box, and they would actually burn incense there. And then once a year, the high priest would gather some of that incense and go into the Holy of Holies, and he would actually swing that incense over the mercy seat, which were the two cherubim over the Ark of the Covenant. And it was to offer up prayers for all of Israel. And you know, the veil now has been torn wide open for all of us priests. There's only one high priest, but we are all considered priests, intercessors, intermediaries between God and ordinary men. I know, doesn't that sound so prideful? But that's who we are, right? We are vessels of the Holy Spirit. We are hybrids of God and Holy Spirit. Second Peter says that we have been given the divine nature to escape the corruption of this world. I mean, who else is to intercede between God and man but us, the hybrids? You know, the actual carriers of the Holy Spirit. We are priests and we are kings and but we are a royal priesthood. So our prayers matter to transform things around us. And so this is the picture here. So the first thing we have to realize that our prayers have eternal significance and influence in the spiritual realm. But the next thing, isn't it, what's with our prayers being incense? You know, what sense does that make? You know, how can our prayers be incense? And I just want to show this little video because after you watch this, there's going to be so many visuals that you can draw from when it comes to prayer. If you could show that, Justin. Ignore the little promo in the beginning. We're not selling Young Living.
Understands the delicate practice of harvesting frankincense. Modern Arabians collect frankincense resin by hand, just as it was done thousands of years ago. The harvester takes a specialized knife and delicately scrapes down a small portion of the frankincense tree's bark. Milky liquid races to the surface, later solidifying into a delicate resin to keep the tree's precious water from escaping. After 10 days, the harvester returns, scrapes off the white resin, and cuts the tree a second time. With this cut, the frankincense resin, though still unusable, becomes more aromatic. Each cut produces a more valuable resin with greater quantities of essential oil. When the harvester cuts the tree a third time, the resin comes out a yellow-brown color and is very aromatic. This is the valuable resin harvesters work so hard to cultivate. Harvesters cut the tree up to 7 times during the season, each cut producing more resin than the last. By going directly to the source, Young Living produces the highest quality essential oil in the world.
Okay, we could stop there. I'm glad we're not selling any Young Living oils here. But you see that picture, right? That's how incense was harvested. And, you know, we are as the fragrance of Christ to those who are living, those who are being saved, and the fragrance of death to those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ to the world. But this idea of harvesting incense and that being our prayers, you know, I couldn't help but think, when do you pray the most intensely? When you think about it. When do you really pray with all out boo-hoo, bawling your eyes out like, God, I just can't do anything else but lay here and cry and beg? It's when you're super desperate, isn't it? In fact, it's in places where you've become so vulnerable, so exposed, so hopeless in a sense, except casting all your hope upon Him, all your cares upon Him. When do you pray with the deepest, deepest incense? It's usually, unfortunately, when there's trials, you know? We see this tree that it's being scraped, made vulnerable. You know, when are you made vulnerable? The Lord said to Israel, you know, I wish instead of being literally circumcised, your heart was circumcised. In other words, having a vulnerable heart scraped off the stone. I will give you a new heart, and I will take the heart of stone out of you. That exposed heart where real incense can be harvested. And when you think about it, it's where you're completely vulnerable to God, like that tree with the bark being scraped off. It's like when there's no more pretense left. You know, we put on a lot of shells, a lot of bark, don't we? You know, no, I'm good. I'm good. How are you? Are you doing good, though? I'm worried about you. Don't worry about me. I'm worried about you, you know? It's like we have all this thick bark on us, pretending that everything's okay. And yet sometimes underneath, we're just like dying, you know? And the Lord needs to scrape off sometimes that dead bark. And by the way, He usually lets the world do it. You know, I don't think He needs to actually get the chisel and do it Himself. He just kind of lifts off His protection for a little bit and lets the enemy scrape off the bark. I'll bet you the devil thought God was scraping off the bark. You know, Satan wanted to attack Job even before the Lord gave him permission. You realize that? Because he knew all about Job. You know, the devil already knew all about Job before God said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He already knew. He was already trying. But the Lord said, "Watch this. When I let you scrape that bark off, watch what happens. It's going to get a deeper and deeper yellow, fragrant frankincense." Because sometimes it takes exposure to things in life to really pray with deep conviction. And so as we see this scraping of the bark, it really shows us how sometimes we need to be made vulnerable. We wonder why tough things happen to us, you know? I remember speaking to one of our friends who had cancer, and she said she almost misses those days before she came out of remission or whatever, and she was healed, because she prayed with a depth that she felt so connected to God, because all the bark was just being scraped off, you know? When we have a thick layer of bark, we really can't give off a fragrance. We're pretentious. Our prayers are pretentious, you know? They're eloquent, or they're superficial, because the bark hasn't been scraped off yet. But when you've experienced that exposure, and it doesn't have to be through pain, by the way. It can be through moving outside your comfort zone, like going to Turkey for me. You know, it's not like, and it's not fear, it's just 2 weeks. I can't afford to go for 2 weeks. I got a business, you know, and it's just so much pressure building up to it. It's not my comfort zone to go to Turkey. It really isn't. By the way, I'm confessing right now. don't tell anybody, all right? But, you know, we have to move outside of our comfort zone and get that bark scraped off. Because I realize if we fall into any pattern, even a good one, guess what? The bark just keeps growing back, you know? We have to allow ourselves to be scraped, to have that comfort zone removed so that we could be really exposed, so we could pray with a fragrance, with a new fragrance of power and of might, you know? So that we could pray knowing, no, I've seen this happen. I've been there and I've watched, and I know healing is on the way. I know deliverance is on the way. I know that God will bring a peace to this situation because this bark's been scraped many times. Let me tell you something. And when I pray about this, it's a deep, deep from the depths of the tree type of prayers because I've already conquered this beast. I've already rode this rodeo. I've already conquered this Goliath. Do you know what I mean? And my prayers have significance because I've been scraped to the place of discomfort that now my prayers bring healing. And think about it, that sap, you know why the sap comes up to the surface? To heal the tree, to heal the tree. You know, do you want to be a tree with dead bark all over it and really not giving life to anyone else? Or would you rather be scraped so that you could be stronger yourself because of that healing and have also given off some of your incense to someone else? So by us going through that scraping process, we are now becoming incense to others. And that's how come we are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved. They need you to go through cancer. I'm sorry to say, you know, in fact, Paul, I think, said, I've been called to suffer in places that Christ hasn't. I'm paraphrasing. But where the sufferings of Christ were lacked, and I'm like, that almost sounds blasphemous. How did the sufferings of Christ lack anything? Well, they didn't. But you and I are in places with people in a sphere of influence that Christ was never in. And that's why you may be going through a scraping process so that you can be deeper healing incense to others so that you can bring hope to their lives because, you know, all they know is the misery that they're in. And that's the fear also, by the way. If you're going through something, you know, covering over it with alcohol or even covering over it with a lot of prescribed drugs. You know, I'm not saying if you need them, the doctor has prescribed them, but sometimes I think we tend to run to numb our feelings. Do you know? Oh, I don't want to feel anxious. Well, I understand, like if it's preventing you from working, it's preventing you from accomplishing things, I'm all for it. A good friend of mine just went through a real trial and I didn't even know him. I'm like, who is this guy? He is not the same guy I know. I mean, he's scared. He's paranoid. He's not confident. He can't even make a decision. His mind is so scrambled. I just didn't even know who he was because he was going through a financial crisis. And he blamed himself for all these decisions he made. And he just was beating himself up. And it's like, and all of a sudden, he was just hoping. He was telling me things like, you might read about this in the newspaper. And, you know, I might even go to jail. And all these things. And he didn't really do anything wrong. But he was just like playing the enemy was playing mind games, is what he was doing. He was shooting fiery darts into his mind and making him believe all these mistakes he made would be considered breaking the law, and they weren't. So anyway, his wife was just saying, you know, let's just pray and all that. But he went on a medication, and he's already off. He was on two of them. He's already off one, and he's planning now to decrease the other one. And it's only been like 3 months, you know? I mean, maybe there's times and seasons for things, but to really just deaden our emotions to trials, I believe we could be missing an opportunity. Because if you really feel that time of bark scraping, that's where the prayers will come out the most powerful. That's where your life will have the most fragrance to yourself and to others. And that's where real wisdom comes from, when you allow the Lord to make you vulnerable, to become fragrance to the world. Did want to save some time to pray, but your prayers are sanctified because of the blood of Christ. They sprinkled blood on the horns of the incense altar and around the rim of it, so that the incense would be seen as sanctified by the sacrifice. We know Christ spilled his own blood and made us sanctified. So when you pray, don't say, yeah, well, how can I pray about this? I know I just did that. He's still mad at me for the other thing. How can he listen to this prayer? You know, we are sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. So your prayers are holy incense to him because of his blood, not because you've warranted a right to speak to God. He's always listening to you. You know, that one song, Faithfulness, he says that even when you're faithless, he is faithful because he can't deny himself. And you and him are woven together. John 17, he said that, you know, make them one just as you and I are one. He can't deny himself, so he can't deny you. He has to listen to you. You know, even when you are in sin, and even especially then, the enemy wants you to run away, not thinking you're worthy to pray to God when you're in sin. And that's exactly when Adam should have come out of the bushes without the figs, trees, branches, leaves, whatever, without the fig suit, and just ran to God and said, you know what? I've sinned, you know? Judas, did he have to hang himself? I know it was always foreknown that he would, but did he have to? He assumed he would never be forgiven. So he hung himself on a tree. He didn't even give Jesus a try. You know, your prayers will always be listened to, and your sins cannot separate you from the listening ear of God. Amen? And so let's pray. I'm going to turn on the mic, and there's just a few things I think we should pray today, and we can pray just a few things if we can think about this. The global church, because there really is a revival happening. It's really stirring through the nations. Those of you who have traveled around and are seeing it, you know, in places you'd never imagine. So we could pray about the global church, if you want to jot that down in your mind or think about it. We can pray about our nation. It's, wow, our two nations, I should say. You know, our nation that is being ripped in half. I mean, is there going to be, I don't know, a revolution, or what's going to happen? It's just so crazy, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's just two sides or ways of thinking, and it's like we're so not unified, and the devil loves that. You know, regardless of what your political views are, believe me, the devil will get in here, and he will have his way with this country. And I know we're from a heavenly country, but, you know, we live here. It still kind of matters, you know? And it was founded on godly principles. You know, I know there was not always godly people in the founding fathers, but it was still founded on godly principles, you know? We can pray for healing, if you want to pray for your own healing or someone else, and life circumstances. Perhaps you need some answers, but we'll try to finish up, maybe give it a few minutes, and then the band will come up, but you could keep praying, and then we'll just feel it out. But we know that the Lord is listening to us right now, and the Lord realizes that when we are united like this, when two or three are gathered, you know, there I am in their midst. However many we have here, he's here. And he wants to answer our prayers. And so let's pray and ask God to really change, make a change today. Like, this would be the day. Maybe he's been waiting for us to put out that fleece on the ground and say, Lord, can this be the day? Will you show me that this is the day that you have ordained great change in this country, in this world, or in my heart, whatever it might be. So, Lord, we ask you to embolden your saints, Lord God, to pray out to you, whether quietly or out loud, because, Lord God, we are simply your vessels. You're an extension of you on earth. So, Lord, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. And Maddie, actually, why don't you come up just to... Sometimes a little bit of music reminds us of David. Reminds me of David. But when he used to write prayers to a harp while he was running from Saul, hiding in caves and so forth, that's when the Lord really spoke to him the most. And I think prayers accompanied with music is really a godly thing, demonstrated through a man after God's own heart, David. And if anyone would like to pray up here in your seat, just lift your hand up.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we know that we are saved by grace, not by anything that we have done, Lord. It's your gift to us of salvation because of your great mercy, your unending love and compassion for mankind, that you provided a way for us, Lord, to escape our sin and our corruption and given us a new life and born us again into the kingdom of God. Let us pray, God, that you will continue, Lord, to stir our hearts, Father, fan into flame your spirit in us, that we might reflect the beauty of Christ, the aroma of Christ, the incense of Christ to others. And give us wisdom, Lord, and revelation into our own hearts, Lord, that we might fully see who we love and what we're living for. And then give us courage, Lord, to face what you show us, that we might repent and turn to you and develop in us, God, a heart of desperation, as we've heard today, that, Lord, we know apart from you, we cannot even breathe the breath we breathe, the air we breathe. Every breath comes from you, God, for you are awesome and glorious in power and might. Father, there is no other like you. So just as you have planted your seed in our heart, would it flourish, Lord, with the weeds of the world and the corruption not choke out the life of Christ in us? God, I believe you want to stir a fresh wave and fire of your spirit in each of us today, that we might shine as sons and daughters of the living God, that there would be no other love but you. There'd be no other God that we worship but you. And there are many that can capture our hearts. But God, we declare that for me and my house, we will serve the living God. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for all the things that you're doing all around the world and pouring out your spirit in nations where missionaries have gone and laid down their lives in times past to see the things that are happening now. Lord, I just pray that you won't forget this nation, though, Lord. God, I pray that you won't forget all the sacrifices people made for you and going to the ends of the earth with the gospel, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would see your mercy on this country. Lord, that you would bring peace to all the confusion that's in people's minds and hearts. Lord, that people would be able to turn to you again, that they'll be able to see you again. Lord, there's so many people that I believe their intentions are good, Lord, but God, they're so confused about who you are. Lord, I pray that you would bring a revelation to this country about who you are. Lord, that many would turn to you. Lord, we thank you for all you've done before, Lord. We ask you to do it again in a greater way, Lord, that you would send another awakening to this country. Lord, that we'd see millions of people come to faith in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we come before you with humility. Please, Lord, put on us the humility that Christ himself had. Just keep us humble and keep us seeking to do your will. Make our hearts burdened to do your will. Make our hearts burdened for those who don't know you. And help us to have the vision that you have for the world, that you would desire none to be lost, none to not know you. And just put that burden on us, Lord. And I also pray for those who are persecuted for your name, for those who are so in love with you who have no other desire than to do your will and are persecuted for it. We just ask that you will continue to strengthen them with your love, strengthen them with your being there with them, that you are Emmanuel, that you never forsake them, and let them know that. And help us, Lord, to not forget them and to support them with our prayers and to care about all those who do not know you and those who are serving you. And we ask that you will be with all those who are serving you right now in the mission field or who are training. We just ask that you will give them your vision, that you will give them your intensity of desire to know you more and to do your will. In Christ's name.